John chapter 1, go to verse number 40. John chapter 1, verse number 40. In Matthew chapter number 10, where we have all of the apostles listed for us, the disciples listed for us, Peter is the first one mentioned. In John chapter number 1, verse number 40, we read about his following Jesus Christ. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said unto him, said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. Our Father, I pray that we would learn this evening. I pray we'd learn and apply that we might live for you even more effectively. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. His full name at birth was Simon Bar-Jonah, meaning Simon, son of Jonah. Upon this first meeting between Simon and Jesus Christ, our Lord gives him a nickname. It is Aramaic word, Cephas. In the Greek, it is Peter. Okay, Cephas and Peter are the same name in two different languages. Aramaic was the language that they spoke in the day, in the area. So Jesus Christ calls him Cephas. He calls him Peter. And it means a stone or a rock. It was a nickname that did not describe this brash, vacillating, undependable fisherman at all. But Jesus Christ saw great potential in Simon Peter. Often in the Gospels, when the Lord is pleased, he calls him Peter. When Peter acts like his old self, he calls him Simon. Jesus uses this to describe Peter with his new life and his old life. Christ saw leadership potential in Peter. He saw it there. Go to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 2. "Now the names of the apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter." First. The Greek word there, first, is the Greek word protos. It means chief or leader. Peter is mentioned most out of all of the apostles. He speaks most of all of the apostles. He is spoken to most of all the apostles. He is rebuked most, and he even decided he would rebuke Jesus Christ in all of this. But also quickly and boldly confessed the lordship of Jesus Christ. So, three key elements that go into the making of a true leader. Number one, the right material. The right material. Age has always debated, the age of debate goes on, about leaders. Are they born or are they made? Are leaders just born leaders, or do they have to be made into leaders? Well, Peter is a strong argument for someone who was born with innate leadership skills, innate leadership gifts, but they've got to be shaped. They've got to be made and honed so that he can be a true leader. What are some of the things he possessed? Well, first of all, inquisitiveness. Inquisitiveness. I know what you're thinking right now. Why did he give us that word? I can't even spell it on my outline. Inquisitiveness. So that's the first word there. Go to Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 15. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable." Peter was always asking questions. Jesus would tell them something, explain something to them. Peter was the first one to speak up and say, "What do you mean? Explain that to us. Can you give that to us in a new way? Explain this to us." His curiosity is something that was in him, but it is also crucial to leadership. You got to know. You got to want to know. You got to find out about those things. I said it earlier, he asked more questions than anyone else. In fact, Peter asked more questions of the Lord Jesus Christ than all of the other apostles combined. He simply asked questions. He asked for explanations. Lord, what did you mean by this parable? Lord, what were you saying? What were you trying to teach us? What do you want us to know? He was the one who asked the Lord, how often do I have to forgive my brother? 3 times? 7 times? How often do I have to forgive? He asked the question, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. What do we get? What's in it for us? What happens to us in all of this? He asked about the withering fig tree. Lord, why did you do that? What happened here? Explain this parable to us. It was Peter doing all of this. He was the one who asked questions of the risen Christ in John chapter number 21. Lord, what's going to happen to John? Lord, what about this? Lord, what about that? He was the one always asking questions. His inquisitiveness was there. He needed to know, he wanted to know, and he was going to find out the answer to the question no matter what it took. We need to understand if we're truly following Jesus Christ, truly learning the Word of God, truly trying to come to grips with Christianity and life, we too will be asking questions. Because we're not going to get it all. We're not going to understand it all. Things will happen, things will arise, but we just don't know. But true leaders seek to find out. I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm going to find out the answer to that question. You need to do that. You need to go ahead and read, think, ask questions, and then find the answer to that question. You've heard me say it before. When you have a question that you really have to search out and dig for the answer, once you get the answer, it's yours forever. You don't forget that because you worked to get it. It becomes a part of you. Inquisitiveness. Secondly, initiative. Initiative. He showed some initiative in what he did. Go to John chapter number 18. John chapter number 18. Go to verse number 10. Gospel of John chapter 18, verse number 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now, this isn't the right thing to do, but I want you to see that he actually acted pretty quickly. Okay? They were coming to do what? Take Christ. They were coming to arrest him. He understood it. He got the gravity of the moment, and he whips out this sword, and he's not aiming for the high priest's servant's ear. We get that, right? He's not aiming for his ear. He's aiming for his head. He misses because he's a fisherman. He's not a swordsman. He's not a soldier. But what I want you to see is he acted. He did something right away. He didn't run immediately. He didn't take off. He was going to stand for Christ and fight for a moment. He acted quickly. He answered questions quickly. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Here Jesus Christ is teaching the group and he's talking to them. He begins to ask them questions. In verse number 13 of Matthew 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, that's Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It doesn't say that there was silence in the group of disciples for a few minutes. It doesn't say that they were all quiet, looking at one another, didn't know what to say. Then finally Peter choked the words out and said, thou art the Christ. No, it kind of gives us the idea here that when Jesus Christ asked the question, whom do you say that I am? Peter boldly blurted this out immediately. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. He took the initiative to answer that question. It was there in his heart, and what was in his heart always came out of his mouth. He took the initiative. He answered that question very quickly. And then C, involvement. Involvement. Please understand that whenever you find Jesus and his disciples, Peter was always in the middle of the action. always there in what was going on. Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" We often chide Peter for sinking, for taking his eyes off of Jesus Christ, and for going down into the water. But let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever walked on water, even for a little bit? No, he had the guts to say, "Lord, can I walk on the water with you? Can I step out of this boat and walk to you?" And he does it. He gets out of the boat and walks to Jesus Christ. What do you think the other disciples were doing at about this time? Just staring. Mouths were dropped open, wide. Their eyes were big as saucers. Peter was doing what? Walking on water. He does take his eyes off Christ. He does start to sink. Jesus Christ grabs and picks him back up again. And what do you think they did from that point? They didn't swim back to the boat. They walked on the water back to the boat. If something was going on, Peter was going to be involved. If something was going on, Peter wasn't sitting on the sidelines. Peter wasn't watching everybody else do it. Peter was going to get involved. Amen. That's what leaders do. They get involved. They see something that's going on, and they get involved in what's going on. They don't disappear. They don't just watch. They are involved in what's going on. We read, when Jesus was arrested, the disciples all fled. They all took off. Peter was one of them, but where does he end up going? He's got to know what's going on. He's already tried to cut off Malchus' head, missed it, cut off his ear, and now he's got to find out. Go to John chapter number 18. John chapter number 18. While he is not there with Christ, he is there watching Christ. He wants to know what is happening. He wants to know what is going on with this trial, with all that's going on around him. John chapter 18, verse number 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Again, he's not right up there. There's not a whole lot he can do at this point. But he wants to know. He is involved in what is happening in all of this. He had the right material to be a leader. Number two, the right experiences. The right experiences. God took all of this raw material in the life of Peter and shaped Peter's life by those experiences. Now, let me tell you quickly and honestly that experience is the best teacher. There's no getting around it. Experience is the best teacher. But please also understand that experience is the toughest teacher. Young people, when your parents tell you to do something or not to do something, and they know by experience, please understand, they've gone through it, and if they tell you don't, they don't want you to have the heartache that they went through. That's why they're telling you don't. They know what that brings. They know where that leads. They know what is happening. So learn from their experience and don't have to go through it, because while experience is the best teacher, experience is the toughest teacher all of the time. A couple of verses here. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. When we think about going through some rough experiences at the hand of God, we read and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God is working things in our life that go wrong for our good. What is our good? Well, He's determined, He has predetermined, predestined that all those who are saved would be like Jesus Christ. And sometimes that takes some tough experiences for us to become like Christ. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. Verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. God was shaping Peter. Jesus Christ was shaping Peter. And He used the different experiences that Peter went through to shape him into the leader that He would have him to be. Understand, first of all, he learned through humiliation. He learned through humiliation. It happened in Peter's life. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Peter had to learn humility. And sometimes the only way that comes, if we refuse to humble ourselves, is to have God humble us, and that leads to humiliation. He learned through humiliation. Matthew chapter 16. Remember, in verse number 16, He answered the question, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jump now to verse number 21. Same chapter. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto him, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Would you take that as a stinging rebuke if Jesus Christ called you Satan? Come on. Peter thinks he's doing the right thing all the time. He's involved in everything. He grabs Christ. No! This is going to happen to you. No! Don't let this happen. And he says, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. This is God's will for my life. I've got to do that. Who are you to tell me no? And it's interesting. In his no, this can't happen, he uses the word Lord. How can you say no and Lord in the same sentence? Get thee behind me, Satan. He's humiliated in this. But it's going to make him better. It's going to shape him. Because if God humiliates us, He's not doing it simply to humiliate us and to leave us in the dirt. He's bringing us down so that He might do what? Bring us back up again. Bring us back up. Make us who we're supposed to be. Christ was not proud. And if we're going to be like Christ and we're proud, that humiliation is going to come. It is going to happen. We will be knocked down. Peter learned through humiliation. He also learned through failure. Peter learned through failure. Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter 14, verse number 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after that, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went, and he thought thereon, he wept. He failed. Big time. This isn't a simple thing. He's now done exactly what he said he would not do. Lord, if everyone else runs, if everyone else is ashamed of you, if everyone else turns away, I never will. Jesus had told him, no. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Now it's happened. Peter fails. Now God's going to use this to make Peter stronger. Now, let me quickly add, God doesn't use sin in your life. God doesn't cause you to sin. God doesn't make you sin. God doesn't use sin. God can use you in spite of your sin and use you again, but God doesn't use sin in your life. He failed. And now God's going to use this to mold him into the man he needs to be. Amen. Number three, the right character. The right character. The right material. The right experiences. The right character. Character is what makes leadership possible. Without character, no one follows. Without character, no one should follow. Character is what makes leadership follow, and God's going to mold Christ's character into Peter. Jesus Christ is going to shape these raw materials, use those experiences, and to turn Peter into the leader that he needs to be. What are some of the character traits that he would have? First of all, submission. Submission. See, wait a minute. Leaders submit? Well, in order to be a leader, you have to be a good follower first. It has to be there. No one is born a leader, stays a leader, is always a leader. In order to be a leader, you have to be a good follower. Leaders have to submit to the Lord. They have to submit to others in authority. To lead, you must be able to follow. Go to Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter number 17. Verse number 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast an hook, take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take, and give unto them for me and thee. What's he telling him to do? Submit to the government authorities over you. Now go to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 2. 1 Peter, chapter number 2. Verse number 13. 1 Peter, chapter number 2, verse number 13. Peter writing, Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You think Peter learned his lesson? You think Peter got that idea of submissiveness that Jesus Christ was teaching him when he said, we need to pay our taxes too? Now Peter's telling those he's writing to be in submission to those in governmental authority over him. Submission. Secondly, restraint. Restraint. Self-control. Discipline. Moderation. Anger management for CEOs, if you will. That's what he has to give to him. Jesus Christ was always teaching Peter restraint. Peter always wanted to jump out front, do something before he thought. And God's got to teach him, no, have some control over what is going on. You remember the ear incident? We just talked about that a few minutes ago. Well, the Lord rebukes him for that. Now go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. No, 1 Peter chapter 2, sorry. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Peter's remembering when Jesus Christ went through the trials, went through the crucifixion, he did not strike back. Now he tells us, follow Christ's example. He held his mouth. He submitted to what was going on because it was all a part of the Father's plan. And Peter said, we need to learn that same restraint, that same self-control that he learned. See, humility. Humility. Again, Peter is this brash, bold fisherman. Go to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse number 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto them, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You know what happens in this thing. We've already talked about it. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Verse number 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Peter lived it. Peter experienced it. Peter learned his lesson. And now humility is a part of his life at every step. Amen. D, love. Love. Tough lesson for Peter to learn. John chapter number 13. John chapter 13. Verse number 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? The Lord is going to wash his feet. Peter knows, I'm not worthy of that happening. Lord, I don't want you to wash my feet. Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 7, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed, bathed, is what that word is, needeth not to say, but to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. He goes on to say, in verse 13, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, the whole idea here is, this is the Lord clothing himself in humility and putting the other people first. That's what biblical agape love is. Being more concerned about the other person than you are about yourself. Now, there's a whole theological study in what Jesus Christ said about if you're bathed, you only need to wash your feet. He's saying you need to be saved all over again. Your feet are going to get dirty. You'll need forgiveness, but you don't need to get saved all over again. But he's teaching them love. He's teaching them humility in this act as well. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 8. Peter's going to write, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. What's that word, charity? Love. Agape love. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Love each other. Care for each other. And Peter's the one now leading the way in doing that. Leading the way in how that is happening. E, compassion. Compassion. Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He's going to mess up big time here. So he's going to have some understanding and compassion when other people do and want to get right with God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Peter, again, who experienced this, writes, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter just gone through this. Peter knows what that's all about. Satan did get to Peter. Now he's warning, please, don't let that happen to you. Be sober, be vigilant, watch out. He said in verse number 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Please understand, he is after you. He's now got compassion on others because he went through it. He doesn't want anyone else to go through it. So he said, know what's going on. Understand, he is out to destroy you. Amen. Last, courage. Courage. John. Chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. John 21, verse number 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Courage. Peter's just denied Christ three times. He has now come back to Christ, and Christ has asked him the question three times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, Lord, I'm fond of you, twice. You know I am. There's no impetuous, fake courage this time. And Jesus Christ ends up telling him, you're going to die for me in the future. It is going to happen. Tradition tells us he was crucified like Christ. Only when it came time, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. So they crucified him upside down. He would give his life for Jesus Christ. Amen. Not impetuous, not false, but choosing to do what's right no matter the cost. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's saying to all of us, God's working. There will be testing times. There will be trying times. There will be times of tribulation. But God is refining us and working in us for his good. Take heart. Be of good courage. One day he will appear and we will be with him in heaven forever in that inheritance that will never fade away. Amen. If we die in this life serving Christ, we'll live with him forever. It doesn't matter. That is his newfound courage. Not, I can do it. It's, I'll trust God no matter what he has in store. Because one day, I will be with him forever. Amen. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. Verse number 18, the last things Peter says. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. What's Peter acknowledging here? You're never done growing. He's an old man when he writes this. He will die shortly after this. He tells them, keep on growing. When you stop growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of Christ, you're done in your Christian life. Oh, I don't mean you'll lose your salvation. If you're truly saved, you'll stay saved. But you're not going to do anything. And you're certainly not going to be a leader. Leaders grow in Christ. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for this example of Peter. Lord, he had so many good traits that he tended to use for the wrong things, but we do the same thing. Lord, he was human. So are we. But you saw in him materials that you could shape, that you could mold to be a lead, so that he could be the leader you would have him to be. And Lord, you see things in each one of us. You want us to become leaders where we are. I pray that we would take these qualities and use them for your honor and glory. Allow you to mold us, to make us, to shape us into what we should be. Lord, we desire to please you in every way. I pray that we would completely submit to you and allow you to work in us and through us. Bless now in the decisions we make. In Christ's name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Has God taken one of the things, or maybe a couple of the things that were mentioned this evening about the life of Peter, and said, yeah, that should be part of your life. You should be doing that. You should be like that. You should submit here. You should grow here. What has God spoken to your heart about? You say, Pastor, God has spoken to me. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Anyone else, just put your hand up, put it back down. Our Father, bless us now as we make these decisions. Lord, you've spoken to us. You used this example of Peter. Now I pray that we would yield to you completely, that you might make us into your image, that we might be all that we should be for your sake. Guide and direct in every decision right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. The piano's going to play a hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, if there is a decision you should make, do it right now. Talk to God on this very first verse while we wait.